Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome you at this hour to reveal your word to our hearts for this time that we are living in. And gracious Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you now for sending your word. And I thank you for anointing your people to receive your anointed word for this hour. And I thank you for giving your people an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. And I glorify you for it now, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 15. That which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been. And God requireth that which is past. The latter part of chapter 3, verse 15. And God requireth that which is past. Our thought comes from this verse of Scripture. What is past that God is requiring now? What is past that God is requiring now? In dealing with this message, we must understand the things that we once used to do that seemingly have gotten away and slipped from us as the people of God. And these are the things that brought us from where we used to be to where we are right now present. I want you to think for a moment about 5 years ago or 6 years ago of the different things that you encountered that God brought you through. But I want you to think about what you was doing as a believer to cause God to respond and to move on your behalf. Now, you wasn't just doing nothing for God to do what He'd done for you. There were some things you used to do as a believer during your devotional time. I find that we as the people of God, we have gotten away from so much that we was taught, that we was indoctrinated in doing, that was so effective in our life as well as being effective toward people that did not know Jesus. I also find that we as people can also sometimes forget the bridges that brought us across. We soon forget, we have amnesia as to what we used to do that has actually caused God to do in our life what He started doing. And we've entered into a day and hour that God is requiring that which is past. Because if what was past was so bad, God would not be requiring it for the present. We're going to explore and understand what is actually past that Solomon is telling us that God is requiring right now in this hour we're living in. God knew this day would come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the latter days perilous times shall come. In Ephesians 5:16, Paul say, redeem the time because the days are evil. God knowing that these days would come upon us as a people. And what God is saying to us as the body of Christ, He's requiring those things we used to do in the earlier days when you first got saved. The earlier days when you first met Jesus. Do you not remember how you was when you first met Him? How you were so in love with Jesus and He meant everything to you. But now as time moved on, we begin to grow. We get a little scripture. We know little Bible verses, We go to getting crazy and forgetful as to who brought us through what we've been through. It's one thing to forget people, but we should never forget God on no occasion. And too often we as saints, we forget the one who was there for us when nobody else was there. So we're going to find out what is actually past that God is requiring now. I also am very much disturbed about much word I hear preach in this hour. And I'm understanding why so many of God's people do not see the importance of going back to what they used to do. Because when you hear messages of prosperity, that God wants you to be blessed, you hear these ice cream messages, you hear these lollipop words, and such messages in this hour is actually rocking many of you to sleep. You are actually so complacent, like you are, but what God is saying to us, I require what's past that you used to do. You see, you go to service and you hear a word to make you shout and dance, which is wonderful. But there must be a balance in your life. Just like from the natural, you must have a balanced meal. You have your protein, you have your carbohydrates, you have your fats, and you have your sweets. That's the same way it is with the gospel. You sometimes must hear a word that's full of protein, a word that'll give you some fat, a word with carbohydrate, and you sometimes get some dessert. If you always eating sweets, your balance, your diet is no longer balanced. So what it does, it affects your entire physical body. Well, that's the way it is in the spiritual aspect. You always hearing smooth messages and God loves you and God loves your father and he loves your mother and he loves the cat, he loves the dog. God so loved the world. That's wonderful. But if you're not challenged through this same word, you will never launch out into the deep. You will never grow from where you are right now. You will always be saved, sanctified, and selfish. You will sit up in a building Sunday after Sunday, never grow, never experience nothing new with God or from God, if you do not hear a message that will provoke you to move from your complacency. If you just satisfy with a sweet, pure, milky gospel, where you're tipping through the tulips. That's why the devil is rampant in your life now. You can rebuke him and he don't go nowhere. You know why? Because the enemy knows there is no strong meat in your bones, in your spiritual bones. You can rebuke it all night. He's not going nowhere. But if you never get a message to challenge you and to let you see that you can do all things through Christ and it's time to launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch, you will never come to experience another side of God that God wants you to know as a believer. But see, that cannot happen unless you go back to what you used to do. We're going to explore this on today to find out what is actually past that God is requiring right now. Well, we also need to understand as the people of God, because we're in 2001, it does not mean that God has changed. God is still the same. I mean what he did in the days of old, God is still doing in the present now. But if God is going to do what he did back then, we must do what they did back then for God to do present what he did back then. We look at in the Bible how God did different things for biblical characters. But you also see what they did to cause God to do what God did for them. God don't just move just to move. Everything God does for you as a saint is a response to your praying. And if you don't have a prayer life as a saint of God, I want to stress this so much. If you don't have a prayer life with God, you cannot do nothing for God. Period. So now let's find out what is past that God is requiring now. Number one, God is requiring holiness. I didn't say holding on to mess. God is requiring holiness. He is a holy God looking for a holy people, coming back for a holy people. He said, be holy for I am holy. Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is a way of life for God's people. And if we expect to make heaven our home, we must live holy. The Bible says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness still stands in 2001. I know it's a message you don't hear very much of today. People are so wrapped up in religion and denomination, but God is the holy God who must be reverenced by His people. You cannot give God anything. You cannot treat God any way. You cannot approach God in any kind of way. You must reverence the holiness of God. And that's something that has gotten out of the body of Christ. Holy living. You must live holy as a saint. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot live in sin and expect God to bless you. You must live a holy life. Holy life. Holy life in 2001. This is what's past that God is requiring now. Number two. Prayer meetings in the church as well as in your home. God is requiring that the church go back to prayer meetings. Go back to times of just waiting and travailing before Him. I find today in many local assemblies, it's sad to say, but I got to bring the truth out. There are so many local assemblies don't have prayer on their agenda. They don't have prayer meetings no time during the week. They have everything else functioning in that church. They got choir rehearsal, they got this, they got that. But the most important thing must be is prayer. Because the anointing comes through prayer. Much prayer brings much power. Little prayer brings little power. If you ain't praying, you can forget about power, period. You must have prayer meetings back in the local assembly. And God is requiring prayer meetings back in His house. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves, a den of robbers. A den is a place. Note that. He said it's a den. It's no longer a place for people to come to pour their very hearts and souls out to God. Because why? If it's not a place where people can pray, folk gonna come in there and start praying. God's house is not a place to come and get a date. God's house is not a place to come eat potato chips and donuts. No, no, no. See, God is requiring prayer meetings back in the house. And when prayer starts coming back, the power of God begins to move back in that place. Number three, God is requiring repentance. This is something that so many people really don't want to do no more. People can just do wrong and just keep going. Honey, when you do wrong, you better repent. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart when you sin as a believer. But He will not make you repent. You must confess your sins to Christ. You must say, Lord, I recognize as a believer, I've messed up, I've sinned against You. Lord, forgive me in thought, word, and deed, sins of commission, sins of omission, besetting sins, or secret faults. You must repent when you do wrong. And we live in a time now when people can just do wrong and just keep on going. I mean, they're not even affected by the wrong they do. They can mistreat their brother, they can talk about their sister, and there's no longer conviction. Honey, you're on dangerous ground. I mean, it's time for you to go back to repenting, humbling yourself and asking God to forgive you. Go back to asking God to wash you in the blood. We need a bloodbath as the body of Christ. Our garments are so spotted and polluted from the world. It's time for the church to repent and come back between the porch and the altar. God is requiring repentance in 2001. Number four. God is requiring faithfulness. There's so many of you as God's people are so faithless. You're no longer faithful to God like you used to be. I mean, nothing will stop you from coming to church. Nothing will stop you from praying. Nothing will stop you from giving your tithes and your offering. But now this world has offered you so much. Well, you're no longer faithful to God like you used to be. You miss church for the least excuse. You look for lame reasons not to come. And you wonder why you're not blessed no more. You wonder why the blessings that used to flow in your life have stopped flowing because a faithful man and woman shall abound with blessing. And if you're not faithful to God anymore, God is requiring faithfulness back in His church. God is requiring you as the people of God to get back to being loyal and committed to Him. You're more loyal to your jobs. You're more loyal to going shopping. But when it comes down to prayer meetings, it comes down to Bible study, when it comes down to coming to service, I mean, you look for grounds that you don't come. But it's time to become faithful back to God. That's where repentance kicks in at. You must recognize, Lord, I'm not faithful like I used to be. And what I want you to consider as the people of God, that God is faithful to us every single day. There's not one day that comes and goes that God has not proven His faithfulness to you and I. Great is thy faithfulness to... What we are dealing with is what is past that God is requiring now. And number four, God is requiring faithfulness on His people's part. I want you to consider when you first got saved, how you will let nothing alter you from walking with Christ. You will let nothing alter your prayer time. You will let nothing alter your Bible reading and your coming to hear God's Word. But now you look for the least excuse. You look for lame reasons why you don't come. Well, because the sun's too hot or because it's raining. But look at something like this. When it's time for you to go to work, I don't care if it's raining or it's hot, you still go to work. Why? Because you're more faithful to your job. You're more faithful to the natural than you are to spiritual. You must render unto God that which is God, because you're giving Caesar what's his. And you wonder why the blessings that used to flow have stopped flowing in your life. Because God requires that which is past, and God is requiring faithfulness back from His people. Number five, God required that we come out of the world and stay out. That's a requirement by God. That's what used to do. See, there was a time you can tell the saints from the sinner. You can tell the believer by just looking at them. You can tell by their action and their attitude. But now today you got to look hard and you got to even ask folk, are you saved? Do you love the Lord? People got to always walk around with a sign on their chest saying, I am a born again believer. But there was a day when you would let your light so shine before men, and they would see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But now it's so hard to tell the saints from the sinner. Because why? We as the church, we want to look like the world and act like the world. And you wonder why you're not reaching folk that's still in the world. You must be different from the world in order to reach folk that's in the world. And God is requiring that we come out of the world. You cannot be an effective witness for Christ if you're rubbing elbows with folk that's in the world. I mean, if you're not there trying to witness to them, if you're not there loving them and letting your light so shine before them, you're always hanging around them. You see, an evil communication will corrupt good manners. And if you're always hanging around folk gossiping and always backbiting and always putting the church down, you will find where folk will lose respect for you. And you find where people that used to look up to you, they're now looking down their nose on you. Because why? Ain't nothing different about you than them. And when you call yourself trying to witness to them, they look in your face and start laughing. But God is requiring that we come out the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Number six. God is requiring that we go back to consecration. Go back to turning our plates over. Go back to fasting and waiting before Him. I find there are so many saints that's obese. I mean, you fat and out of shape. I'm going to tell you the truth now. Because why? You're so glutton now. There's like a glutton spirit that's in the body of Christ. Folk don't want to consecrate no more. Everything is name it and grab it and see it and go get it. Everything is fake now. But there's a time when God's people will turn their plates over and say, Lord, I'm not going to eat until you give me an answer. And we've entered in such a time as this, where it's going to take consecration now. You got to add fasting to your prayer. You find when you just pray and nothing happened. But now it's time to turn your plate down and say, Lord, I'm going to wait like Daniel did. Daniel mourned for 3-4 weeks. Honey, it's time to say, Lord, consecrate me a fast. God, give me set times to come before you where I can just devote this time with you. I've gotten too big for myself. I've gotten too big in my own eyes. But see, when you remain little in your own eyes, you'll find yourself consecrating your life. And God is requiring that we go back to fasting and praying. Go back to waiting before Him. Go back to looking unto Him as the author and finisher of our faith. And quit trusting flesh for what only God can give you. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Number 7. God required that we go back to praising Him and quit praising flesh. It really don't matter to me who God used to do what. But what you need to understand is that God gets the glory out of whatever people do in your life. Regardless of who God using in this hour, you must always remember that they are men of God and they are women of God. And they're not God Himself. But we often forget that God is using these people. And we begin to make God out of man. But God is requiring that we start giving Him back His glory. And quit robbing God of the glory that's only due unto Him. Number 7. God requires that we preach nothing but the Word. It's time out to stop giving people lollipop messages. It's time to tell folk the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help you God. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's nothing but the gospel preached just like it is that will cause men to come under conviction. That's what Paul says. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's time to preach this word just like it is. And then Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This is why you got to tell folk the truth. You got to cry aloud and spare not, and lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show God's people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. I mean, when you go to hollering and screaming and putting your finger in your ear, that will not bring deliverance to people that's bound. They must know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus was buried and He rose again, and that Jesus Christ is the only answer. I don't care what denominations are saying. I don't care what religions are saying. That is Jesus plus nobody. Is Jesus Christ, are you going to hell? If Jesus not your Lord, you hell bound. But you don't have to go there. That's why Jesus died on Calvary. Glory to God. It's time to preach the word. Nothing but the word so help you God. And preachers, we got a responsibility. We got to tell folk the truth. And quit lollipopping and compromising this word. To make friends with folk. God didn't call you to preach to make friends. God called you to preach to populate heaven and to empty hell. And hell can't be emptied unless you give folk what God said the Lord. Number 8. God requireth that we pay our tithes and give Him the offering and quit robbing Him. There are many of you listening to this message. You wonder why you're under a curse where nothing is working for you. You have robbed God of what belongs to Him. And you wonder why you touch everything, it turns to mud. You must go back to paying your tithes. You must go back to putting God first in your giving. When you got your paycheck, remember years ago, the first thing you did was roll out your money for God. But now you take that money and go buy shoes, go buy hair, go buy fingernails. You go buy this and you go buy that. And you wonder why stuff getting lost and you're losing your eyebrows, you're losing the hair you bought. You're losing the finger. I mean, you're losing so much stuff, you're about to lose your mind too. You have to go back to paying your tithes and give God back what belongs to Him. Because God going to give it back with interest. Number 9. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God required that we go back to worshiping Him and not flesh. Number 10. God required that we allow Him to move among us and quit stopping Him with all of our programs. We have so many agendas where God can't even get in the church. It is sad to say. We call this the house of God, but God don't even have leeway in His own house. God shall require what's past. Number 11, God requires that we forgive one another and quit holding grudges in our heart. Unforgiveness is the greatest sin in many of your lives because you won't forgive people that wronged you. God cannot forgive you when you do wrong. Number 12, God require marriage, and I'm going to stress this one. What's past, God still require present. Don't you ever think that God always
Or don't you ever think that God ever, for one time, condoned shacking up? Don't you ever think that God always overlooked people living common law? And what's so sad, this kind of stuff is existing in the body of Christ. You have so many of you professing to be saved. You love the Lord, but you shacking up. You live in common law. You don't even have papers on that man. He don't even have papers on you. But God required that you marry that man or that woman, or get yourself out the house. Read Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Read your Bible, saints of God. God required that you marry or get out the house. You should not be living with no man and no woman that you ain't married. You sit up the oath and said, I do. Because if you didn't I do, you should not be doing. Let me move on here. Number 14. God required that we look unto Him for what we need and quit looking to flesh. Number 15. God required that we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being. Saints of God, if we're going to experience new things with God in this hour, if we expect God to bless us, to use us, to anoint us, to enlarge our border, we must go back to our first love. We must go back to living right. We must go back to praying and reading the Word. We must go back to giving and repenting and loving God. And as a result, God will, number one, visit us. Number two, deliver us. Number three, anoint us. Number four, heal us. Number five, use us. Number six, prosper us. Number seven, open doors for us. Number eight, magnify us. Number nine, shine through us. And number ten, He will reach souls through us. Loving Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank You for Your Word for such a time as this. And God, I pray that You will anoint Your people that's listening to this message. And I pray that You will stir the hearts of Your people. And Father, I pray that the power of Your blessed Holy Spirit will flow through these airways, bringing mass conviction to the hearts of Your people. And God, cause them to go back to what we used to do, that You can bring us forth for such a time as this. God, I pray that You open the eyes of Your people and get them to realize that if we're going to go forward, we must go back to what we used to do. And God, You require that in this present hour, because there's such wickedness all around us, and it's going to take this to make it through this hour that we're in. And God, I give You glory. I give You praise and honor. I give You thanks for doing it now.